Welcome into Diamonds in the Desert. I'm Jordan Hamm. We have a lot to get to for the Diamondback side of things. Torey Lovello signs an extension. Greg Holland signs on, reportedly. And we also have some interviews from Dingers in the Desert. That was the Project 34 event that I attended this past weekend. We had Corey Hahn on last week to talk about that. Project 34 provides support for those with spinal cord injuries. So Trevor Williams and Corey Hahn, a couple of former ASU baseball players, teamed up to form Project 34. Of course, Corey's baseball career was cut short when he suffered a spinal cord injury, but that has not stopped him at all. Currently with the Diamondbacks, the coordinator of pro scouting, and of course, Trevor Williams is a pitcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates. So we have some interviews from that event. Scott Kingery, former Arizona Wildcat, member of the Mountain Point Pride. He's with the Philadelphia Phillies, and he signed a pretty big contract. They made quite a commitment to him at the start of last year, so we're going to talk to him about some of that. And of course, Ryan Burr, the closer, former closer of ASU, having a great couple of seasons. He was with the Diamondbacks for a minute, and currently with the White Sox, been in their system a bit. So we're going to get to his interview as well. But we're going to start things off with the news. We'll start with Torey Lovello signing on a 2-year extension, according to Zach Buchanan of The Athletic. In his first two seasons, he had winning records in both of those seasons, obviously made the postseason in his first year with the club back in 2017, and then they were just short of it in 2018. So I think that this is the right move. He was in the last year of his contract. As Zach pointed out on Twitter, you don't want a lame duck manager where it's, you know, you don't really know what's going to happen beyond this season. So extending him was the smart move, not only timing-wise, but I think he definitely earned that next contract. You know, he really turned around an underachieving team, and in that first year, it was predominantly the same guys that Chip Hale had. But they, you know, obviously injuries played a part, but it was that team couldn't really get rolling. And Torey Lovello and Mike Hazen kind of were able to push the appropriate buttons to get those guys going and to, you know, make that postseason run. And obviously, you know, bringing in JD Martinez certainly helps with that. But I think Torey's done a very good job. The sense I get is the players enjoy him. They enjoy how upfront he is. You know, he doesn't seem to mince words, but he's going to support his guys, and he's going to keep, you know, probably keep guys in certain roles that a little bit longer than most would. But it seems to have turned out pretty well for the most part when he does that. Think to Fernando Rodney. How many times in that middle of the season where, you know, I think people are just looking for storylines at the end of July, early August. Whenever there's a struggle, it's all right, what's going to be the overreaction here? And a lot of times that was with Fernando Rodney blowing a save. And there were plenty of times he made a 4-run lead turn into a 1-run lead real quick. But he also notched a ton of saves and had some key outs. And I think a lot of people wanted him to get bumped out by Archie Bradley and Bradley take over that closer's role, but they stuck with it. They made a nice run in the postseason, and Fernando Rodney was the one getting those last three outs in that wild card game, and really did a nice job with that. So I think he has a loyalty to his players. The thing that I'm unsure about with Torey Lovello right now is all of the teams he's managed, whether it was with the Red Sox when he was the interim manager or with the Diamondbacks the past few years, that these are pretty veteran-laden teams. You have Paul Goldschmidt. You have A.J. Pollock. You have Patrick Corbin, three guys that will no longer be on the team. You have David Peralta. Jake Lamb is a young player, but he's logged a lot of big league time. And it seems like a lot of these veterans responded well to him. In terms of developing young talent, he hasn't necessarily had to do that all too much, but I think he's done enough to prove the trust of Mike Hazen and prove the trust of the front office with this younger team that they'll be putting out this year, that he can develop those guys. When you look at Ketel Marte, Marte has certainly had his ups and downs since joining the Diamondbacks, but I think he's starting to become a you know, bona fide everyday player that can really bring a lot to a team. Now, we'll see what happens if he makes that move to center field. I personally think he should stay in the middle infield. We talked about that last week. But I think that seeing the steps that he has made, I think Torey Lovello has a lot to do with that. You look at some of these young pitchers, Zach Godley, Matt Cook. These were guys that, you know, at the start of that 2017 season, Zach Godley was in the minor leagues. And he had had some stints in the big leagues to varying degrees of success, but he had a phenomenal year in 2017. And I think that Torey Lovello might have had something to do with that. Then you have Matt Cook in a very similar role in 2018 that Godley had. He stepped up and was a very good pitcher when they needed him to be, being in that starting rotation. And I think he's a guy that, you know, could be a solid option should they run short on pitchers again, or he moves to the bullpen. So I haven't seen a ton of examples of this, but I think there are enough examples out there that with a young team, with when you know you replace Paul Goldschmidt and Pat Corbin and Jeff Mathis with a Carson Kelly, a Luke Weaver, a Merrill Kelly, Christian Walker, I think that you know, he has the proper skill set to help develop those young guys. So I think it was a smart move to you know, obviously keep him and move forward. But it's going to be a different team, and that's the thing I think D-backs fans need to remember is if they're excited right now that he got signed on for multiple years, you have to have that patience when things go bad. Because things are going to go bad at some point in the season. It's baseball. That's what happens. And you are without three of your significant guns from last year. Paul Goldschmidt, Patrick Corbin, AJ Pollock. There's going to be some growing pains here. And whether it's a full rebuild or it's a, you know, let's take a couple steps back, replenish the farm system a little bit, a year or two, okay, we're back, we want to compete. It could be. Heck, it could be a half season. You know, crazier things have happened. And as this slow offseason happens, there may be more talented guys out there that the Diamondbacks can go get at a discount. You know, you never really know. So, but the varying degrees of whatever this rebuild is, and I know the Diamondbacks have been hesitant to use the word rebuild, but you need to be patient with Torey Lovello and Mike Hazen because this is the direction they're taking it. And I think it's the correct direction because you need the talent, you need the luck, but you need the timing to make a playoff run. And the Diamondbacks, unfortunately for Diamondback fans, that window closed when AJ Pollock walked out that door, when Pat Corbin walked out that door, and they were unable to make significant free agent signings because of the way that the roster is made up and the salary is made up. So that's why they traded Paul Goldschmidt with 1 year left on his deal. You could have made one more run, but you're without Pat Corbin, without AJ Pollock, you know, I think they got a good return on two players with a ton of control and Andy Young, who is an up-and-coming guy, and that draft pick. They have 9 draft picks in, I believe, the first 100 picks. So that can change your farm system real quick and jumpstart things and jumpstart a rebuild, retool, whatever you want to call it. So you got to be patient with these guys. I think they know what they're doing. I can tell they have a plan, and they need to execute that plan. And it's not going to be, you know, fixed come April 1st. It's not. But I think there's some good ball players on this team. Jake Lamb continues to develop. Eduardo Escobar is a great signing to bring in. You know, Nick Ahmed had a career year, and I'm excited to see what these new guys do. It's gonna be really interesting. So I think it was the right move, but again, you need patience for Torey Lovello as he signs this contract. Let's focus over now to Greg Holland, the reliever, reportedly signs a 1 year deal. The Athletic first reported it. $3.25 million, another $3.5 million that could be added through performance bonuses. Now, let's go back to 2017. 2017, Greg Holland's with the Rockies. He saved a National League tying 41 games. 1.62 ERA before the All-Star break. Struggled a bit in the second half. And those struggles kind of carried over. He signed a 1-year, $14 million deal with the St. Louis Cardinals, and that was kind of going to be their trump card in the bullpen. It didn't go well. He had a 7.92 ERA over 25 innings. They DFA'd him. Washington picked him up, and all of a sudden, he found whatever he had lost. 24 games, 21 and one-third innings, 0.84 ERA. 2015, he had Tommy John, missed the bulk of the 2016 season, or the entire 2016 season, before bouncing back nicely for the Colorado Rockies. So, this is a product of the slow offseason yet again. And it's not really going to crush the Bryce Harpers and the Manny Machados. Yes, they're not going to sign $300 million deals, but it's been an interesting time for what we'll call the middle class of MLB free agents. The good players, the very good players, but not the top flight ones and not the guys that can just sign quick and easy contracts. You know, they're just looking to extend their careers. So that's where AJ Pollock falls in. That's where Greg Holland falls in. The Diamondbacks, I think it was a great move. And I think there are a couple more guys out there like Greg Holland that they're going to be able to sign potentially to a discount deal. And they can, you know, right the ship in their career. And, you know, if they stick around with the Diamondbacks, that's one thing. If not, then they were able to bounce back. I think when you look at, we talked about Pat Corbin, Clay Buchholz is also out of this rotation. I think the rotation, even with all the injuries, was the strength of this team last year. You now have Brad Boxberger out, Greg Holland coming in. It looks like he's going to be an eighth or a ninth inning guy. They don't know who the closer is going to be yet. Yoshi Hirano, Archie Bradley, Greg Holland are the three I imagine will be the closers. Now, I would be good with really any of those three. Because I think what the Diamondbacks are trying to do right now with the rotation, not as strong as it has once been, Zach Greinke has been good. But there are those times where he's been good, but he throws a lot of pitches, so he's out by the sixth inning. You want to shorten that game. You need to shorten that game if your starting rotation has taken a hit. With Pat Corbin and Clay Buchholz walking, yeah, it's taken a hit. So shortening that game, I think, makes a lot of sense. And I think that the Diamondbacks' strength right now is their bullpen. That's really the only spot they've added. When you look at their defense, they have, you know, they've taken away because AJ Pollock walked. Ketel Marte could be moving from an elite second baseman defensively to center field, and Wilmer Flores is now on there, and he's not the best, fielder. Paul Goldschmidt has walked or has been traded. You're now moving some things around, so defense won't necessarily be as strong as last year. Same goes for the starting pitching, but the one place where they've added is the bullpen. And I like the way this bullpen has been constructed. You have the three I mentioned. You have TJ McFarland, just Mr. Versatility. Taylor Clark could end up being a reliever. You know, I think he'll probably at the end of the day be a starter, but if you want to get him to the bigs and just experience that, he could go bullpen. Matt Andrees had a good season before he got to Arizona. He struggled last year as a trading deadline addition. Andrew Chafin had his ups and downs, but overall I think is still a very good left-handed pitcher. You know, where Matt Cook falls into this, you know, he could be another middle guy. Yoan Lopez has been so intriguing over the years, but just for a myriad of reasons, hasn't quite made it to the big leagues consistently, but the talent is certainly there. So you shorten this game all of a sudden to six innings. That takes some pressure off your starters. That takes some pressures off the offense. Both of those took a hit in the offseason. So maybe there's something there where they can continue to compete by just shortening this game. Maybe they're onto something. Jimmy Scherfy's another name that I, you know, he has been so good in the minors, shown glimpses in the pros, but, you know, kind of got off to a unhealthy start last year. So that's another spot where I think that they could be, you know, have some nice additions, and you know, they have three guys competing for a closer position yet again. So that is everything on the Diamondbacks currently. Let's shift gears to Dingers in the Desert. A really great event. It was really cool. Year one that they did this, I have a feeling it's going to come back with a lot of momentum in year two. Corey Hahn and Trevor Williams put it on through Project 34. Pedro Gomez was the MC. You know it's a big event if Pedro is there. I saw Bob Holtzman was there. You know, plenty of reporters. Bobby Dalbec was a part of the home run derby, as was, what, Drew Stankiewicz, Scott Kingery, Matt Davidson. You know, so there were some big names in that, and guys with local ties. One of the guys that actually was throwing BP to start, and this was to the youth division, was Ryan Burr. And as Ryan will explain here in this upcoming interview, that was one of the hardest thing he's done on a baseball field because it was very counterintuitive. But currently Ryan Burr within the White Sox farm system, he saw 8 games at the big league level, struggled 7.45 ERA, but in the minors, he threw 37. He had 37 games where he appeared, 2.45 ERA overall, 51 strikeouts and 51 in the third innings. And this guy, we've talked about Brad Boxberger and his walk-up song, God'll Cut You Down by Johnny Cash. Ryan Burr's the OG for this, at least in my experience. When he was in college and I was covering ASU, that was his walk-up song. And it was imposing because it was a kind of quiet song, a measured song, but an intense song. And let's face it, it's a little different when Brad Boxberger's running out and Ryan Burr's running out at 6'4", 225 pounds. So he's had a great minor league career so far. I think that he's going to be a staple for the White Sox bullpen in years to come. And he catches up with Diamonds in the Desert at Dingers in the Desert. Diamonds in the Desert podcast is now joined by Ryan Burr, former Arizona State closer, currently with the Chicago White Sox here at Dingers in the Desert. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So what was it about this event that you made sure you wanted to be here during your off season and support this event?
I think first and foremost, it starts with the friendship that I have with Corey Hahn, Trevor Williams, you know, the founders of this project. You know, I consider them some of my best friends, guys I played with here, guys I went through life with, you know, during my time here and then afterwards. Just great people to be around, a great project to get behind. So it was a no-brainer to be here.
Now, it seems like there are a ton of former Sun Devils here. Also have some U of A Wildcats, some big leaguers. Just what can you say about the group of guys that they were able to collect for this first event?
It's exciting. I mean, we didn't really know what was going to, you know, how it was going to go down the first time we did this. But, no, I think we have a pretty good turnout. You know, yeah, there's a couple guys from the school down south, but we're letting that slide today. Today is all about raising money and awareness. So that's what we're here to do.
Now, you were throwing batting practice. How would you rate your performance?
I'd give myself an F. It's horrible. I don't know how people do that. More props to them. It's hard to go out there and try and throw pitches that you want to get hit instead of trying to get guys out. So something I could work on, I guess.
Did I hear you walking off say that was the hardest thing you've ever done?
On a baseball field, throwing slow over the plate is something I've never done in my life. So, yeah, I'd say on the baseball field it's one of the hardest things I've had to do, yeah.
So now let's shift gears to what's been going on with you the past couple of years. Had a great year in the minor leagues last year. You know, spent some time up with the big league club for the White Sox. Just how would you assess how last year went for you?
It was a great year for me. You know, there was some up and downs, but you know, I accomplished my goal of getting to the big leagues. So you know, now I'm just gonna do everything I can to stay there. Have a really good workout regimen in the off season, throwing program and stuff. So my goal is to go into camp and not have any expectations, but you know, do what I can to make the team.
What was the biggest difference you saw making the jump from the minor leagues to the major leagues?
I mean, obviously it's just the talent on the field. Those guys up there are the best. That's the one thing, you know, you go your whole baseball career, you know, always looking forward. You know, there's always a level higher until you get to that level. And now you got to find a way to stay there. And that's the hard part. People always say it's easy to get to big league. It's hard to stay there. So I'm going to do whatever I can, try and stay there.
Now the question everyone wants to know, I know at ASU you had God's Gonna Cut You Down as your walkout song. Have you kept that song?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yep. Still happy.
What is it about that song that makes it so appealing for you?
I mean, honestly, these days I look back, you know, when I hear that song, when I'm running out, you know, into the game right now, I think back of some of those big situations I got out of in my college days. So, you know, I kind of have a little memory reel flash through my head, you know, when I hear that song, when I come out on the field. So that, and I just think it's an awesome song.
What were some of those biggest moments that jump out to you when you think of your ASU career?
I mean, there's so many. I pitched myself into so many tough innings. I remember one in particular against TCU. I think it was our first home series against them. I think I got out of a bases loaded jam with no outs. I think I struck out the side after that. That'd be one that I'd look back on for sure.
Good stuff from Ryan Burr. I love that line where he's like, I've never gone out on the mound and tried to throw slow and over the plate. But again, Dingers in the Desert, great event. They raised over $10,000 from what I heard. So good start for that event. I'm sure many more to come. There was a lot of support from the Diamondbacks, a lot of support from ASU. They actually had an ASU-centric home run derby as part of the festivities. It was a cool event. The other guy that I was able to sit down with for a couple of minutes was Scott Kingery. Now it's an ASU, pretty ASU-heavy event, but this was a U of A Wildcat that sat down with me. Him and Bobby Dalbec were there. Dalbec actually won the home run derby. But Scott Kingery currently with the Philadelphia Phillies. And really, before he logged a lot of major league time, the Phillies, to start the year, came in, gave him a 6-year deal, and just had a huge commitment for him. 6 years, $24 million in guaranteed money. And that's really before he did anything at the major league level. So we discuss kind of their commitment to him, where he wants to grow as a ball player, and learning from Gabe Kapler, who is his manager and just a ball of energy. So here's Scott Kingery on Diamonds in the Desert. We are now joined by Scott Kingery, Philadelphia Phillies infielder. Just what's it like being here at Dingers in the Desert with so many Sun Devils, but also a couple Arizona Wildcats here?
I mean, this is great. You know, for us to come out here, you know, we're kind of getting back in the swing of things. Spring training's around the corner. So for us to be able to come out here and, you know, just take a couple swings for a great cause, you know, it's special for us.
Why was it important for you to participate in an event like this?
You know, I mean, just growing up around here, you know, we haven't had something like this, and you know, for the great cause, and to come out here with a couple guys, you know, I grew up playing against and compete against them just for you know, for fun, having a good time. It's you know, great to raise awareness and you know, help out and you know, do anything we can to help. So it's awesome.
We're here at Phoenix Muni. Obviously, Arizona and Arizona State have a great rivalry. What was your favorite memory from that rivalry in your playing days?
It actually came freshman year. I got a hit that gave us the lead late in the innings, and you know, that was the first time I had ever played against ASU. You know, growing up 5 minutes from here, decided to go to U of A, and you know, for me, just to be able to win the game for us like that, it was a moment, you know, that kind of stuck with me.
Getting to team up with Bobby Dalbec, just what does that mean to you, getting to you know, meet up with one of your old teammates from U of A?
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, we live together at U of A and we're living together now, and you know, he's just a great guy and you know, a good friend of mine, and to be able to come out here, thankfully, you know, I don't have to face him now that Stankiewicz beat me, but you know, just awesome dude, and it's fun coming out here and swinging with him.
Let's transition here to your year last year with the Phillies. Obviously, you start the year with that big contract. Just what did that mean to you, seeing that team make such a big commitment to you here early in your career?
Oh, man. You know, for them to show faith in me like that and believe in the talent that I have, it's special. You know, it's just, for me, it's just, you know, all the hard work paying off and, you know, just them seeing the kind of player I am and, you know, how they can use me and believing that I could be an asset to their team. So, you know, it was a shock to me, but at the same time, it was a blessing.
How would you assess your first year predominantly at the big league level where you're able to log a lot of games?
Oh, it's a learning curve. You know, I take it as a learning year, and for me, I wasn't sure what to expect. That's the whole thing is, it takes a little while every level you move up to kind of get in the swing of things and you know, start to figure it out. So about halfway through the year, I started figuring out the routine and what it was going to be like. So, you know, it's a lot different feel going into your second year.
How important was it for you to be so versatile? I know that you kind of came up as a second baseman, but due to some injuries, you spent a lot of time at the shortstop position. Just how do you think that made you even more valuable to the Phillies?
For the way that, you know, Gabe Kapler, our manager, is running the team, it's you need guys like that. And this day in baseball, in the National League especially, you need guys that can play multiple positions, double switches, pinch hitters, and you know, I kind of fit right into that mold. And for me to be able to play 7 different positions last year, and you know, that's something that where if there's a spot open, I can fill it. So it's you know, it gives me more opportunities to be able to play that many.
What sort of steps do you want to take in this upcoming year, this offseason? What have you kind of been focusing on to make that next step as an everyday MLB player?
You know, I just practicing every position again, because you know, it's so valuable to be able to play those. So kind of just lock down some defense at positions I didn't really you know, have much playing time at before last year. So working on that, and you know, just always working on something hitting. There's something new you can learn every day, and you know, kind of perfect more every day.
Appreciate you tuning into Diamonds in the Desert. I'm Jordan Hamm. Thanks so much to Scott Kingery, to Ryan Burr. And we are just 2 weeks away from pitchers and catchers reporting. Baseball season is upon us. I'm going to try to get as many interviews while in the Cactus League, not just with the Diamondbacks, but maybe some guys around the Cactus League with Arizona ties. Definitely want to try to hit as many camps as I can. Appreciate you listening each and every week to Diamonds in the Desert on Sports 360 AZ.